Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Hi, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. Whatever. I'm Judge David Johnson. Mike Rapino's here too. Mike, what's up? Yeah, I hear that.
The sky. Ugh. That's what's up.
And then Mac, how are you doing?
I'm full of brightness and cheer.
That's good. I'm glad you got the holiday spirit. Well, I prepared for an ill-tempered Friday filibuster. I'll share my story first, and Mike's not feeling great either. But the Knicks and the Celtics just wrapped up. Knicks had a win streak going on. Celtics, best team in the league. Tied up. The Celtics hit a two with like 0.4 seconds left. So they're up two. And then our guy hits a three, but the clock run out was like 0.2 seconds too early. So the ball was in his hands like 0.2 seconds over, and that's how we lost. Unbelievable. So I'm ill-tempered. Mike, how's your temperament?
Well, you know, the Penguins just blew a game against the Rangers. They were up 1-0, and then the Rangers tied it up and scored a second goal, and then the Penguins scored a goal, but it got called back, and then the Rangers ended up winning 4-1.
Oh, gee.
All in the third.
Oof.
All in the third period.
So, essentially, your team was on a little streak, right?
Yeah, actually, their streak ended last night when they lost to the Flyers, okay. But they went, a healthy amount of games, and I don't remember how many. It was 12, maybe.
Crosby's streak? Is that still intact?
That is still alive, I think. Oh. I don't know actually about tonight, but because I was listening to most of it on the radio. But I don't know. We're still like teetering on first place. So in the whole, in the conference or whatever. So it's not a huge deal. But it's a downer. And I also had pretty high hopes for this evening's podcast.
Yeah, because we should say right now that we were talking about Firestorm. Unfortunately, we had to postpone. One of our podcasters, Eric, had fatherly duties to attend to. And I know we will get to Firestorm very soon. So probably we'll have to let the crazy holiday season filter out, but we'll let you know. So bear with us. We promise you it should be worth it. So depression all around, gentlemen, except for Mac. Who's full of Yuletide glee. So, Mac, why don't you lead us off while we lick our wounds, and you can tell us why you're so happy.
Well, not really anything more than usual, just compared to you two guys. I don't know. What's been going on with me?
Yeah, what have you been watching? What have you been doing, too?
Been watching? I've been researching some about M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
You know him?
Oh, yeah.
I've been researching about him for an upcoming review for the site and reading about his movie The Last Airbender, which pretty much everyone just hated. But all the people who hated it would always go on and on about how great the cartoon was. So I thought, well, I should really check out this cartoon because I'm a cartoon animation type of guy. And I've been watching the first season of, which was then called Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes, they had to change that's right.
Some movie. Some other guy made some movie, so they had to change the title. But anyway, the original cartoon is great. It's like, where has this show been all my life? It's just really solid. It's one of those few TV shows that doesn't have that sort of rocky first couple of episodes where they're finding the voice. It's solid, and it knows exactly what it is right from the first episode right on through. And I'm really enjoying it. It's just really great fantasy adventure stuff. I can't believe it's taken me this long to get into a show that's this good.
Yeah, people tend to, that's what I tend to hear from people. So.
It's definitely got that sort of Babylon 5 vibe where it's sort of the one singular story, it's got the novel for television where it follows the one arc through all three seasons and comes to a definitive end and was planned that way from the beginning. So, it's really exciting stuff.
So, is the Last Airbender movie out? Was it out on DVD or Blu-ray? Has it come out?
I believe
it came out a while ago, right?
I think it just came out, yeah.
Not many good things about it. I guess one of the big complaints lodged against it was it wasn't very didn't stick close to the source material or something like that. That's what I heard.
Yeah, or it tried to like cram 9 hours worth of the source material into, you know, 90 minutes.
Right. There you go.
And lost a lot in the process.
All right. Very good. Anything else?
Let's see. What else? Not too much else. Been awfully cold.
It has been. It has.
I was outdoors for most of today covering a news story, and there was a sudden rush of water came running down the sidewalk, and I was up. The ice-cold water was, like, way up above my ankles, so took me all the rest of the day to get the feeling back into my feet. So, yeah.
All right.
Cold.
All right. Well, that's kind of how I feel now, right after this crushing exercise. So, Mike Rubino, what are you doing?
Not a whole lot, guys. I do know that once this podcast is over, I'm going to watch the start of a new four-part HBO series called, I don't even know what it's called, 24/7. It's like a look at the Penguins versus the Capitals that's coming up for the Winter Classic.
Oh, okay.
The Winter Classic, if you're not familiar with, is the New Year's Eve outdoors game.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be held in Pittsburgh this year.
And Heinz Field?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So, I'll be there. I'm pretty excited about it. But leading up to it, you know, they're going to have HBO is doing one of their sports documentary things where they're following the two teams around for the next 4 weeks and recording everything. So looking forward to that. That's about it.
Right.
Nothing.
So you're going to be starting watching a show, and
yeah.
You're looking forward to an outdoor hockey game. Is that correct? Did I sum it all up?
Yeah, and I'm starting to watch a show that's about the outdoor hockey game.
Okay.
While I'm here lamenting the loss of a hockey game.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's about it.
All right. So to sum up here. You're upset with the hockey game. I'm upset with the basketball game. And Max upset with the bitter New England cold. So it's just a down the line, depression rich Friday filibuster. For me, let's see. What I guess TV. I mean, we're in the big holiday break from TV. Looking forward to Parks and Recreation coming back.
Absolutely.
That'll put a little smile on my. That'll have my frown turn upside down. Let's see. Fringe is moving to Fridays, unfortunately. I know I've talked about this already, but still one of my favorite shows out there. And then I guess I'll be able to make up some time. I told you I'd gotten the Sons of Anarchy first season, so I look forward to watching that during this kind of dead time with TV. Got a lot of video games to catch up on. Been contemplating buying the new Splatterhouse game. You guys remember Splatterhouse?
Yeah, they're like the Jason
ripoff. Yeah, so they did an updated version, which I guess is just ridiculously gory. So it might be up my alley. We'll see. There's a Amazon deal coming up later tonight. I'll have to scope that out. So, but beyond that, the biggest news in this household is my wife, for her birthday, got a Keurig coffee brewer. So I hear good things about that. So, you know, interested in see if I can make myself a delicious iced coffee. So, wow, I think we successfully talked about everything not related to any kind of entertainment.
That's true.
Really. So.
You know, I've tried those Keurig things before.
Oh, yeah?
If I can digress. Yeah. I don't have one myself, but I am a coffee enthusiast, so, I've tried one. I'm always curious, though, because if the Keurig people stop making the little cups of coffee, what do you do? Like say 10 years from now, you're still using that.
Oh, that's true. 10 years, wow.
Whatever.
You're not telling me there won't be like an iRobot type of coffee brewer that will be waiting on you hand and foot, or the Japanese won't make some kind of female robotic companion that serves coffee as well?
That's quite possible. I still make my coffee by pouring water into a cone, so I'm using like the caveman methods. But the it's a proprietary coffee system. That's true. You know what I mean? Like, Keurig goes away.
That's right.
What are you doing with that thing on your?
That's
counter?
A good point. That's a good point. It is a proprietary coffee system. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So
good.
Think about that while you think about your entertainment. Well, let's talk about this real quick. This just popped in my head because did anybody watch the Community stop animation?
Okay, now this will be interesting. Yeah, I did. So, Mac, did you catch that?
Yeah, I heard about it, and I was going to – even though I've never really seen Community, which I know is great, but I've never seen it, I was looking forward to checking that out just to see what they were going to do, but I missed
All right, well, you catch up on the DVD, I suppose, right?
Right.
Or, I mean, or a rerun. I think you would appreciate it. But I would like to know, yeah, Mac, Mike, what did you think of it?
You know what? I thought it was – I was actually kind of disappointed. I really liked the stop animation stuff, but I guess to me it wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. And maybe I wasn't paying attention close enough or something, but I thought it was like a really novel concept. And they did it – you know, looked really good. And there was some funny stuff in it. But overall, I don't know. I thought it was okay.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I actually – probably thought it was worse. I disliked it more. Community is very interesting to me. Sometimes they hit it out of the park, but sometimes there's just episodes that just never work for me. You know, it's a very hot and cold show. I think the edge goes to it being funnier more than that, but like the stop motion just struck me as gimmicky. I don't know. It was cool, I guess, but like the actual story was just, I don't know, trying too hard, maybe. Does that make sense? Like they just tried too hard. You know, and then whatever message they ended up with, like everyone celebrates the holidays in their own special way, was, again, just trying too hard. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple of very funny moments, but it just didn't do anything for me. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it was, I don't know, I guess I was just expecting more. Like Mad TV did a stop animation thing, like in their first season. For Christmas, and it was awesome. And to me, that
stuff, yeah,
like that, yeah, however many years ago, was so funny to me that I was expecting this to at least be on par with that. Like, it stuck with me. I hated Mad TV, but for some reason, that stupid Christmas thing stuck with me. And, you know, and so I thought this would be something close to that, but
yeah,
it was okay. Yeah.
All right. So, boy, we need to really pump up the positivity.
Yeah,
in this
well, I thought that
podcast. We're struggling here. All right. Well,
what else could we be ambivalent about?
Yes, the economy is still kind of shaky, gentlemen. I have to say.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about Iran and its nuclear capability. For that matters. So, all right. But anyway, let's talk about what we've reviewed for the site, and even me thinking right now what I've reviewed. A la Stonehenge Apocalypse. I'm not sure this is going to improve our mood. But Mac, what have you been working on?
Let's see. Well, I got two reviews coming up here. Do you want to talk about the one that is pretty good or the one that's really ridiculous?
Whichever has the best capacity of putting a smile on our faces.
Okay, let's slam the bad movie.
Okay. Good.
Going back to Shyamalan, again, we've got a movie called Devil. Remember seeing the ads?
Very briefly. That was
the elevator. The elevator.
Movie. That was like an in-and-out type of thing. Right.
It's like it's five people trapped in an elevator, and scary stuff happens. That's kind of what the ads are selling you. But what you get in the movie is a lot more. You know, I don't like to use the word pretentious.
Oh no.
But there's really no other way to describe this movie than to say it's really pretentious.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Tell us why. Get into as many details as you want.
Well, like I said, you know, I was expecting to see a movie where five people are trapped in an elevator and scary stuff happens. Instead, I got a movie where five people are trapped in an elevator and scary stuff happens as a parable for the nature of forgiveness and the nature of evil and how all the choices we make in our life come back to haunt us.
Gotcha. That's
so, you know. It tries to take like this moral high ground about, you know, forgiveness and whatnot, and yeah, spoiler alert, but turns out it really is the devil, and there's no like mystery as to what's going on in there. There's no, because it tells you like right in the opening shot of the movie that it's the devil who's going to screw with these people.
All right, well, at least yeah, that's good that they get that out of the way.
I guess, but it kind of kills any sense of mystery that or suspense, but. And there's this guy in the movie. He's a security guard in the high-rise building, and he's the one who, like, you know, as soon as the five people are trapped in the elevator and it's stuck, and the security guard, he's like watching this on the little monitor, and It's at this point he just immediately jumps to the conclusion that it's the devil. This is the work of the devil, right? And before any of the really freaky stuff happens, just he automatically knows, oh, it's the devil. And I imagine if this guy's going to work in the morning, if he's stuck in traffic, is he like, oh, traffic's slow, it must be the devil.
Gotcha.
Oh, my coffee is cold. It's the work of the devil.
This reminds me when I first moved to New Hampshire, I got a job at a preschool. Right, it was a pretty good job actually, you know. But I was, I was doing that while I was going to grad school, and we had a really obnoxious little kid, this 3-year-old who was just a terror, and his mom was clueless. And I remember, like, we were talking to her about kind of her disciplinary methods, and she said, "Well, you know, I just tell him if he lies, the devil's gonna cut his tongue out." I'm like, "Whoa, that's some progressive parenting right there." That's the second time I've told the story today, so something about the devil. I don't know. But yeah, so there you go. So then avoid the devil at all costs, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. Just if you skip it, you're really not missing much of anything.
All right, what's the okay movie then?
Oh, the okay was, again, with going back to animation, Generator Rex from Cartoon Network.
Okay.
Not perfect, not the best series ever, but fun. It's all about the future where nanotechnology is run amok, and our hero Rex can use the nanites to transform himself into a half-human, half-machine cyborg, and then he uses all of his cyborg powers to battle giant monsters. So there's that.
That's good. That helps. All right, I appreciate your effort, Mac, in this. That's pretty good. Mike, how about you?
I am working on my review of Inception. The standard definition release, which, you know, I know we got late.
I'm there. I took one for the team and did the Blu-ray, even though it wasn't sent to us. I'm with you.
Oh, well, I mean, this was sent to me, but it's late. Obviously, it's a fantastic movie, and my thoughts on it haven't really changed from when we spoke about it when it came out. I watched it the other night and sort of was trying to analyze it. And I think part of the problem I was having was I was still trying to analyze everything too much and not just sitting back and enjoying the movie. But, that's why you buy these movies, so that you can continue to watch them over and over again and think about them different ways, I assume. But, it's still a great film. And, of course, like, the standard def DVD is a total ripoff in terms of like special features. There's four listed on the back. It makes it look like there's going to be some hefty documentaries. Each one is 3 minutes long.
They want you to buy the combo pack. That's all there is to say about that.
Yeah. So, this is practically a bare bones release. And I assume that there'll be like a double dip down the road. If they want to keep it in standard def or something, but aside from that, it's still an awesome movie, and it'll still blow your mind. So,
because I was wondering how it would hold up later now that all the hype has died down.
I think multiple viewings reveals a few deficiencies, but it actually I think it rewards more than it kind of confounds.
Yeah,
I mean, it made like the dream architecture kind of made it clear when I realized that whoever the headphones are going on, that's who's dreaming. That's who's dreaming. So that's one little detail I picked up. So Nolan gives you these little details that kind of reveal themselves on multiple viewings.
Yeah. I think the only thing that the only downside I felt like this time around was I was feeling more down on the dialogue, and I feel like the movie's so strong and visually and story wise and pacing and everything else that like the dialogue is almost an afterthought in that film, and like it literally feels like 85% of it is exposition,
right? Which is kind of like the double edged sword. You need to do it, but how?
You need to do it, but there's a point in the movie where you don't need to do it anymore, and it's like once. Like, after Ellen Page's character is basically done and, like, the main mission starts, and you've learned the mechanics of how everything works, I feel like you don't need any more exposition. But still, as the mission's happening, all people do is ask questions to each other, and then whoever they're asking it to tells you through exposition what the mission is, why these things are happening, why this person needs to do that, what is going to happen next, and then they do it. Like, the dialogue is dry and it's cold most of the time, and it's all exposition. But it says something to the power of the rest of the movie and how Christopher Nolan has made it and everything that I'm willing to even – I mention it, but it's not even like a bad thing. Like I just don't care because the rest of the movie is so strong. So, it's necessary, yeah, but it's also it could have been a little bit snappier, I think.
Gotcha. But, I think that's valid. So for me, just really disappointment abounds. Stonehenge Apocalypse, again – I mean, we've gotten to the point where, it's instead of giant lizards and global warming or whatnot, it's old rocks that are causing the apocalypse. And they're CGI'd anyway, too, to add insult to injury. They CGI Stonehenge. So
what, the rocks come to life and
apparently the Stonehenge, it's on like the nexus of Earth's electromagnetic field or something. And like every hundred of thousands of years or something, the planet zaps itself. Creation starts anew or something like that. I don't know. It's pretty coherent. And then a big disappointment was we saw this on the upcoming DVD release schedule a couple weeks ago, Death of a Snowman. You guys remember that DVD? We had seen it was like this exploitation looking thing, Death of a Snowman. Another one of those cool covers, much like Power Play and those other movies, and much like those movies.
Right. Oh, okay.
Much like those movies, also disappointing and lethally boring. it centers around a vigilante group that kills bad guys and a journalist who's investigating him, who's caught up in it, and it's about as exciting as that sounds. Like, there's lots of montages of him typing on a typewriter, so... There you go. Unfortunately, just not a great week here. Unfortunately, so we'll see. Again, the Inception Blu-ray helped ease the pain. Actually, I did the reviews coming out, but a movie called Merentau, which is an Indonesian martial arts movie, was pretty badass. Actually, I haven't started to write that up, but that was nice to watch. So, I'd recommend that. So there you go. That's it. And quick before we transition. Have you guys seen the trailers for Green Lantern and Thor? And what do you think?
Yes, I have.
I saw Thor. I have not seen Green Lantern.
Yeah, does Thor do anything for you?
I don't know, Mac. Mac, I'll let you go first.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I think the Earthbound stuff looks pretty sweet. The stuff in Asgard looks maybe a little, shall we say, off. But... I'm hopeful. I didn't see anything that raised the bile and made me want to hate the movie.
I mean, do you know anything about the properties?
Yeah. About Thor?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I've read the comic for years. Yeah. All the Walt Simonson and stuff from the 80s, that stuff's gold, man.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of just felt... I was pretty ambivalent to keep the theme of the podcast going. I guess I'm sort of getting tired of superhero movies being so generic and by the numbers, and the way they look and the way that they're presented. And I know, maybe that's just how the trailer was cut, but I'm craving more from any sort of superhero film.
Well, Marvel's doing a series, they're building all these up to the Avengers.
I know this. But that doesn't mean that they all have to be very, very generic films. I mean, they're like, they're fun, and they're popcorn, but, they're not like, and I guess in other ways, like things like Watchmen and The Dark Knight sort of ruined, and Iron Man to some extent, but they like ruined other comic book movies because those ones were so stylized and so sophisticated, it felt like. That I see Thor and I'm just like, okay. Like, if you really care about Thor from the material standpoint, which I never really got into, then I would be excited. But from like a moviegoer standpoint, I just was ambivalent.
Yeah. I guess the Green Lantern trailer kind of flummoxed me the most. Really? Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it had some hype by it. It just kind of came out to be like a cookie cutter, you know, effects extravaganza. It just didn't seem to do a whole lot for me. So I don't know. Maybe I am just kind of on the down, what, you know, like the down, the lull of superhero movies. So we'll see.
Green Lantern, it just based on the trailer again, looks like it's trying to be a whole bunch of things at once. You know, it's trying to be, you know, this sort of tongue-in-cheek thing with all the kind of wink of the audience jokes, and yet they're also doing all the outer space stuff with the Green Lantern Corps, and they're doing the more sort of traditional origin story. It's like it's there, and you know, again, I haven't seen the movie. This is only from the trailer, but it looks like they're just trying to, you know, they're trying to do like too many things at once.
Yeah.
So unless the movie is 4 hours long, I don't know how it can kind of live up to everything that it's trying to sell me in the trailer.
Right. All right. So, Mac, why don't we shift gears here? Where are we now?
Oh, okay. We are going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD Blu-ray. Maybe we'll find something that'll cheer you guys up and brighten your days, and you can have a soul-enriching experience.
Thank you for that.
We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and we're going to go to the cover art gallery for December 21st. And all you listening can play along at home. And talk about what's on the list here that excites and inspires us. See, I, for one, am definitely looking forward to Season 5 of Futurama, which were the new episodes that debuted on Comedy Central this year.
Yeah.
Good stuff all around.
How did the, you know, I sort of, like, lost track. I was loving what I saw, but I sort of got busy and lost track of it. How did, like, the rest of the season play out quality-wise? You thought it was it consistent?
I'd say for the most part, you know, as with any series, some episodes are better than others. There was this really weird one about these cats, which just came out of nowhere. But, yeah, for the most part, I really enjoyed the show. I am a fan, so I'm kind of, you know, my mindset is set on Futurama equals good. But
yeah.
Even with that being said, yeah, I really got a kick out of it.
Cool. Yeah, I was a fan of it, so. There's the, also the Family Guy Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cyborg 3, is that like part of the Cyborg franchise, I guess? Started by Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I think he left the franchise by that point, but they kept churning out sequels.
Oh, it's from 1995, yeah, starring Zach Galligan. Oh, I guess there was a clamoring for the re-release.
No, and there's Devil, which you mentioned.
Yes. Devil. Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus. Fantastic. There's Stonehenge Apocalypse. Pretty scary.
Oh, with a mushroom.
That's right. Pretty scary. Wow. Not a whole lot out this week, huh?
No, that Wall Street, new Wall Street movie.
The sequel, yeah.
Hmm.
And Angelina Jolie and Salt,
right,
where she's like a spy of some
kind. Yes.
Oh, Step Up 3D, guys.
That's true. Man, I don't know.
And I guess we can. There's Easy A with that actress that's supposed to be.
Yeah, Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Yeah.
All right, I got nothing to add.
Yeah, this isn't really doing the trick, guys.
Okay, we gotta find something funny we can rip on here. But the guy from the cover art for Dismal has really gross teeth. We can make fun of
Very
that.
Very good.
Yeah, I mean they're gross.
Whatever. Sorry, Mac, this isn't doing it. I'm sorry. I'm even more depressed now. Before I clicked on this link. So, all right. Well, here's a real challenge: inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. Mac, go ahead.
All right. Missy and the Maxinator.
That's pretty good. I think that's purposefully sleazy, by the way, though. But all right, Mike.
Wicked Beats.
Not bad. Let me go with Pinprick. All right, here we are. Final phase of this horrifyingly depressing Friday filibuster. This is like Requiem for a Dream Friday filibuster, but. Ambush topic time, where we just have random topics that we're going to talk about. So, Mac, go first.
Okay. Oh man, I was planning on Firestorm, so I didn't think of a a topic. I guess I can go with my emergency backup topic.
Good.
Okay, well, here it goes. If Shatner were president.
Let's see.
That's so you had to break glass.
Yes, that's right.
And grab that ambush topic.
Because you know, in case there's a week where someone does the same idea that I had, that's my idea that I was going to rely on to as a backup. So because we're not doing Firestorm, we're using the backup.
All right.
All right. Well, I'll go. If Shatner were president, all of his meetings would take place on that, on his television show, that talk show that he has on cable, Raw Nerve. And, so all of his meetings and all of his press conferences would take place on that S-shaped couch, and he'd sit uncomfortably close to all the diplomats and all the world leaders.
That's good.
And ask them about their childhood. And what growing up was like.
For me, if Shatner was president, every State of the Union address would open up with a rousing rendition of Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Either that or a Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
All right. What do you got, Mac?
Let's see. Well, you know, we'd all have to install, the view screens from the Enterprise into our homes in order to watch the State of the Union address.
That's true, because he'd probably want it just so... And it wouldn't be high def because he doesn't want to draw attention to the toupee, maybe?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, he wouldn't be the first president to do that, perhaps. But yeah, and of course, we imagine the parties at the White House would be, you know, just out of control, I imagine. All kinds of, you know, stars and celebrities and people from his past would be there. Nimoy would show up. He'd be rocking on the Vulcan harp at the party. So it'd be good times.
Yeah. All right, I'll go next year. You need to talk about a movie or TV show that addresses the pain and despair that you're currently feeling about your respective targets. And that would be Mac, the coldness of the New England winter. Mike, hockey. And then myself, basketball. And they have to be depressing things. So a depressing movie or TV show connected to that.
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Christopher Nolan in Insomnia.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
That took place in the frigid, wintry landscape, as I recall.
That's good.
Or at least not wintry, but it is cold-looking, if nothing else. Yeah. But there's that great bit where they're running across the logs in the river and trying not to fall through.
That's a nice scene. It was. That would have been cold water, much of like what you had felt.
Yes, it would have.
Man, that's hard.
All right, because I don't know what I'm going to go with, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of that. It doesn't really apply, but I was trying to think of that MacGyver episode where he, the third season, Thin Ice is the name of the episode, where he goes to help his, he goes back to play hockey and help his old coach.
Yes.
You remember that? But like his team, like the kids are violent or something, or they've got angry tempers, and
well, it makes sense because MacGyver's got the perennial hockey hair.
Is that they have bad tempers and that's it? That's the
that's
what causes all the consternation.
Yeah, they're just bad temper. Well, I don't. Yeah, like that's. That's about it. Well, you see, MacGyver's always had a hockey past.
That's true.
And you have to ask yourself, was he into hockey before he got the haircut, or did he get the haircut because he was in hockey?
That's a good point.
It's like chicken and the egg.
Exactly.
You know, I also remember an episode in Growing Pains where Ben is playing hockey and he gets into a fight. You know, his dad, that's right, Jason gets into a fight with the guy from the Wonder Years. You remember this episode? Yeah, and then Ben learns about it and he gets into a fight. Everyone's getting into fights. And then that leads to a nice family speech endorsing pacifism. So, you know, I'm going to help out your pathetic entry there, Mike, okay?
I mean, you know, I could have went with sudden death, but I didn't.
You should always go with sudden death.
I know.
I mean, it doesn't get more depressing than that, right? I mean, not the least of really? Which, what happened with the actual hockey game, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like...
What was the result
maybe
of the actual hockey game?
Of and sudden death?
Yeah, do you remember? It got cut short.
I mean, it got cut short. A helicopter crashed
That's
into
That's right. And it was a great game. Mean,
yeah, it was overtime. It was sudden death. And I don't even know... I've often wondered, like, how the league handled that after
That's
that.
True. You know. And where do they play like, it? Where do they play it? I mean...
Yeah, like, I want to see what happens next. I want to see a sequel or a web series or fan fiction. I want to see some fan fiction talking about how the league, how the NHL dealt with that. Did they just reschedule the game or did they like just reschedule sudden death?
You know what would be the absolute best is if you were ever at a press conference with a league official some at some point in your life. You need to ask that question to an NHL league official. But when are we going to reschedule the hockey game? I think we need an answer to that. Let's see. For me, I'm going to have to go with the old standby, Saved by the Bell. They had their basketball, you know, their basketball team was looking pretty good. And, you know, Zach is injured by Mr. Belding, you know, right before
really?
The big game. And so Zach's in a cast in the hospital. And for some reason, Mr. Belding is so racked with guilt, he becomes Zach's personal manservant. He just makes a complete and utter fool of himself. So,
how did he not get sued and fired?
I don't know. He actually does Zach's homework, I believe. So... not a lot of continuity there in that TV show. So,
but was it really depressing though? Because I mean, isn't it all Saved by the Bell? Doesn't it end on a heartwarming, touching note with important life?
Probably, but I don't think anything to do with the basketball game. I don't think.
Oh, okay.
So, all right, Mike, take us home.
Okay. Well, this is going to end on another. This is going to end on a slightly disappointing note.
Oh.
And that would be a movie, an instance where, you know, maybe you have a movie where the box art features a prominent star, very large, but he ends up just being a cameo, a bait and switch.
So, okay.
You know, usually this is found in a direct-to-DVD release, but doesn't have to be.
Well, I'm going to go with a movie called Gangland. Let's see. And I believe Coolio and Ice-T or Ice Cube and Christina Loken. The three of them were top billed, you know, in this movie called like a post-apocalyptic Gangland. And Coolio and Ice-T are in it for 2 minutes in the beginning. And then the movie completely changes. And then you never see them again. And it revolves around some guy and then the guy from Step by Step who does karate. That was it. So there you go. That's my offering.
Well, Dave, I'm surprised you didn't take this one because after the movie Ong Bak made it big, a lot of Tony Jaa's early films made it on a DVD. And they had him featured all over the cover when he's only in the movie for like a minute.
That's right.
Up and coming.
Bearded killer. So, he was like a stunt extra or something.
Right. But because he had something to do with the movie when he was younger, they put him all over the cover art to try to sell it.
Right. Yeah. And another shout out for obviously Voyage of the Rock Aliens, which we talked about at length here. Jermaine Jackson is on the cover, and he's only in a superfluous music video in the beginning. It has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. So, all right, Mike, you go ahead, run with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple ideas I had, but one, the biggest being a review that I just posted earlier this week, I believe, was this straight-to-DVD film called Frenemy that had Zach Galifianakis, like, huge on the cover, and he's also huge on the back, and he's also in, like, a picture on the back. So, he looks like he takes up a good 3/4 of this box.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yep.
And he's, but as I mentioned in my review, the dead giveaway that he is going to just be a cameo is he's only wearing the same shirt in every picture.
Oh, that, yes, so, alarm bells.
So, exactly. So to me, that says this character is only going to be in one scene because he doesn't change his clothes. So, you know, and he does end up just being like a porn star, a porn store clerk.
There.
Yeah. Store clerk. And he's in like an extended cameo in the movie. And he's not even like, he doesn't even get to play himself or be funny. So it was it's like a total bait and switch to sell this movie. And in a way, you know, I don't know if you'll agree or not, Dave, but the Universal Soldier 3 felt that way too with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, that's true. But he had a fairly,
like, because they just kind of reanimate him at the end. And
that's true. He didn't have that. He didn't have as big a role as was you would think. But I mean, it was certainly more so than Zach Galifianakis or.
Yeah.
Or Jermaine Jackson, yes. But yeah, I would agree with that. Even though it is a little perplexing. I mean, we love Dolph Lundgren, but does it really benefit you by pumping up his presence on a movie like that? I mean,
yeah,
maybe, I don't know. Maybe it does.
So, there you go.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well done. All right. So, I don't know. I guess that's it, huh, guys? I guess we're done. So, yeah, stay tuned for Firestorm. You know, actually, it's probably better this way because I just wasn't in a jocular mood. So I don't know if I'd be able to do Firestorm with justice. So we'll get to that eventually. But until then, hope you get your Christmas shopping done now. And you obviously can buy some DVDs through DVD Verdict and support the cause. That'd be fantastic. Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is the email address. And Facebook.com/Friday Filibuster is the Facebook page. So thank you to Mike and Mac. Mac, take us away.
Mashed potatoes.